Welcome to Vicious Whispers with Mark Tullius, your source for horror, sci-fi, suspense, and all things violent.
Hey, what is going on, guys? Thank you so much for joining me today on Vicious Whispers with Mark Tullius. We have episode 53 today. The short story at the end will be from Twisted Reunion. We're going with To Feed an Army. I wanted something with a military feel to it. That's what I'm working on right now with Beyond Brightside. There's a lot of that going on, like paramilitary and former military personnel. So I thought that'd be a cool story to go out on today. Part of Project Entertainment Network. If you guys haven't had a chance to check out the other podcasts on there, you should definitely do so. A lot of horror type stuff. There's some heavy metal stuff, a blend of both, a little of everything. I think there's over 20 podcasts. So yeah, it's cool to be part of that. I will be putting this out every Tuesday, trying to stay consistent so you guys know when to wait and listen to me. So for me, not a whole lot going on. Our contests are wrapping up. Untold Mayhem contest just ended. Man, there were a lot of people that entered that contest. Thank you to everyone that did. The $50 Amazon gift card winners are Darla Paduzzi, Sarah Hook, and Desiree Grubbs. Sorry if I butchered your name, but congratulations on the win. Those prizes go out today. Also, a lot of paperbacks of Untold Mayhem going out as well. There were 16 people that won the paperback. But then, because I'm such a nice guy, and I'm always looking for new motivated readers, everyone that commented on one of the posts, I think the first 12 people that commented, I'm sending them a free paperback as well. So, if you're not commenting on my post, you're missing out. And then, for everyone else, I said I was going to give 100 Kindle copies of Untold Mayhem. I think there were over, 400 or 500 people that requested it. So, what I'm doing is setting up, I sent out an email. If you did not get an email from me and you requested a copy, check your spam folder. Sometimes my emails go there because it's a strange email address, mark@marktullius.com. It's not that fucking strange, but a lot of spam filters will pick that shit up. So check for it there, and then you could download the copy that you would like. And if not, I'm also going to be putting it in the newsletter that comes out today. So there will be a link today for the Untold Mayhem book. If you did not request it, you're still welcome to go ahead and download it. Definitely want to get people's opinions. Reviews are coming in. A lot of people seem to enjoy it. The same thing with Try Not to Die in Brightside. A lot of positive reviews on that as well. So that's pretty cool. But one thing I was thinking of this week is, man, I'm so excited about Beyond Brightside. I'm loving the book. It really felt like, because it's been so long since I've read it, it was about 6 months of not touching it, being busy with everything else. But man, it's really like I'm reading someone else's book. But the awesome part of it is, so far, man, I'm enjoying it. I think it's pretty exciting. Going back through it, now that I read it one entire time, I am looking at it. I'm having to go down page by page, really looking at it, seeing what I'm missing. One of the things I'm realizing is, because it's a sequel, and because I've spent so much time on the first book, like and recently rereading it, and then Try Not to Die on Brightside, I know the characters a little too well. I know the situation a little too well. And so someone that hasn't read those books, they won't have the same insight as I do. So I have to be very careful. I have to make sure that I'm giving some descriptions of like Sarah and Becky and Danny. Because in my head, when I'm writing it and reading it, it's like, oh, I know who those characters are. Those are the main characters. I know exactly what they look like, blah, blah, blah. But now that it's the sequel, I really need to, you know, start putting that stuff in there, sprinkling it in. So that's what I'm doing in the first half of it. The second half of the book, it's actually, you know, the second half is pretty solid too. It's just the ending that really needs to be beefed up. So, yeah, it's going to be on the shorter side, but it's also a fast-moving book. And the nice thing is I should be done writing that probably within, let's say, 2 months. And then it just has to be edited. but it's already pretty well edited. So even that edit is going to be fairly fast. So for sure, this book will be coming out this year. I'm very excited about it. Super cool. But what I was thinking of the other day was, you know, I'm so gung-ho on this. I'm working on some adult cartoon, not like X-rated adult cartoon, although it does get pretty raunchy. So I've been working on developing that. I'm working on these other things, working on Beyond Brightside, other projects. And I realized, I was like, man, I didn't spend any time celebrating the release of two books. Two books back to back, The Trend of Today and Brightside, bam, right there, and Untold Mayhem. So those books came a week apart from each other. They're getting good reviews, but I didn't spend any time like really celebrating the release. First time they came, I don't even know if I opened up the box for like until the next day. I think Untold Mayhem, I probably didn't. I don't even think I posted anything about it the first day it came out. So it's just, I don't know. I don't spend a lot of time in celebrating the finished product. Maybe I do when I finish writing. I probably go outside and smoke, which again isn't very different from what I do every day. There's no huge celebration. It's just another thing that I did. Hopefully people will like it, but once it's done, it's done. And then, you know, I still spend time with marketing and those aspects of it. But as far as being, you know, happy or complete or whatever, it's like, it's none of that. I'm already on the next project. It's like, all I care about is creating. Some people may say, you know, maybe that's not super healthy and you should spend more time appreciating what you've done and blah, 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 blah. It's like, fucking life is too short for that. I want to get in all these stories, all the stories that I have in my head, all the projects I want to do. Like, the only way they're getting done is if I'm fucking on it, if I'm doing a little bit every day. So that is the plan. I'm motivated. My daughter, she came down last night before going to bed, and she saw Beyond Brights I just spread all over the table and asked me what I was working on. So I was telling her about the, you know, the problem with writing a sequel and how it can be difficult and blah, blah, blah. But I told her, that I really would like to do the story that we worked on together. It's a fantasy trilogy. It's already really well plotted. We have all the characters, all the main characters. We know what's going to happen. I already got the fucking cover tattooed on my back, 80 hours worth of tattoo. And so I was like, why don't we do that this summer? This summer, I think, would be a good time. And she was asking me, she's like, well, when did we start coming up with the idea or start writing it? And I was like, I don't know. It was probably like 2 to 3 years ago, probably at least 3 years ago. And she's like, she's got this huge smile on her face. And she's like, oh, it's going to be so much darker now. I was like, that's cool. I was like, I'm good with that. I'm kind of known for the darkness in me. Complete opposite of what I am here with her and my son. And just in general, I'm not a very dark or mean or scary kind of guy. But I do like to write dark and disturbing stories. So I told her, you know, we'll take it whichever way feels right. I'm good doing a very, very dark fantasy series, sort of like Game of Thrones type darkness. I said, but we'll see when we're writing it. But it was cool to see how excited she got. And she's about to turn 12, but she reads well past her age. She'll devour books. She could read a couple in a week. Because she spends so much time reading fantasy, like that's her thing. That's why she's able to help me so much with the development of this book. So that'll be really cool to do. And then I was telling my son, there's a character that's designed after him on my back. He got to pick what animal he wanted that would also be in the story. So he has a lion, and he's kind of given some ideas about this lion and name-wise and everything else. Although I think the first name he came up with the lion was Brian. So I was like, no, dude, we're not calling the lion Brian. Nice little rhyme, but I was like, no, we're not doing it. But I was telling him as well, you know, we'll bring him in to some of the writing sessions and just see like what he thinks his character would do, or if there's anything cool he can add. Because something I've learned is you really could learn from anyone. Maybe 9 of his ideas are not going to be any good, but there might be one that's really good. And he's going to feel included. It'll be more of like a fun little family project. So that would be really cool if we do that over the summer. We'll see whether or not that happens, whether or not my daughter could be motivated to get on it and to really help me with it. But Brightside will be done. Beyond Brightside will be finished. I still need to work on The Bridge, which is part two of like the sequel to Messiah, part two of the five book series. And that was like halfway done, but I think it'd be kind of fun to throw the trilogy in between. But yeah, fuck man, talking about all that stuff kind of it's a little overwhelming at times because I also have all these try not to dies that I'm popping in and out of. But again, I'm glad that I have all this. I don't have to stay on one project. I will stay on Beyond Brightside until I'm finished with it. That will definitely help me. This is like the final push. And but even then, as soon as I get this final push done, it's going to be the editor for a month before I do like a final pass on it. And so in that month, I'll either work on short stories or this other book or the trilogy or the Try Not to Die. So I'm always staying busy. I don't know. I think that might be about it. I had been tempted to read, talk a little bit about speaking German, trying to learn the language, apps I'm using, and the new Brightside version that's in German. But I think I'll save that until next week when I actually get the physical copy of the German version. And I'll maybe read a page or two to you guys. So that'll probably be next week's episode or the week after, depending on what's going on. But just wanted to come on real quick, let you guys know what's going on. And yeah, I say we end this so I can go work on Beyond Brightside. You guys don't give a shit what I'm saying. You guys are here for the free story, right? Hopefully. Well, actually, hopefully you care a little bit about what I'm saying too. All right, but I think you guys would all rather I go and be productive than keep on babbling. So let's do it. This is from Twisted Reunion. To Feed an Army, narrated by T. Quillen. Hope you guys enjoy it and come back next Tuesday for episode 54. All right, guys, peace.
To Feed an Army. Until he joined the army, Private Edwards had only seen the jungle on TV. He wasn't prepared for the heat, and the air was so damn thick you could practically sip it. It hadn't rained in days, but everything just stayed wet. Edwards had been moving all morning, alone on the run. Even though he'd lost most of his baby fat in basic training, and these 6 months in the shit, Edwards felt just as heavy as he did in high school, when the kids used to point at his white, lumpy stomach and call him Curdle King. The sweat probably added another 5 pounds to his uniform and gear. When Edwards could go no further, he leaned against a tree and threw off his pack. He didn't sign up for this. He didn't want to be a soldier. He just wanted to survive, maybe learn a skill. That's why he'd requested to become a medic. Something moved to his right. Edwards grabbed his M16 and aimed. The sunbeams coming through the canopy played tricks on his eyes. He heard squawks and the distant cry of a monkey. He figured it was nothing, but Rex was still out there. Edwards forced himself to stand. His feet began to tingle, like he'd tied his laces too tight. Something fluttered, a rustling. Edwards wanted to take off running, but he stayed still, scoured the ground for tripwires. There was always something waiting to turn you into wet confetti. It was hard to believe that it had been less than 12 hours since Edwards foolishly thought the real danger was gone. It had been gruesome, but the worst of it was over. Their squad had taken the village and secured a massive food supply. Staff Sergeant Rex doing things Edwards spent the entire night trying to forget. But they were safe and just had to wait for the convoy. They'd be supplied for 3 months. Everyone knew Staff Sergeant Rex was a dope fiend and had issues long before any of them landed in country. But he was their superior, and this was war. No one thought Rex would ever intentionally do anything to jeopardize their lives. There was talk that this was to be his last mission. Maybe that's what sent him over the edge. Or maybe it was the heat. Or maybe he was just an evil piece of shit. whatever it was, didn't matter. Edwards just wished he could get Rex's knife tricks out of his head. An hour after breakfast, Rex had called everyone over to the open-walled hut where Ornales, Shipley, and Curtis lay sleeping. Edwards was squatting in the bushes, halfway through a shit that was more of a spray. He almost yelled he'd be right there, then noticed no one else was hurrying. Jennings was last to join the group, his hand holding his stomach. Neither Rex nor Jennings said a word to any of the men still sprawled on the floor. Nothing special happened. There was no provocation. Rex just started blasting. Jennings and McKinney, headshot, headshot. Everyone else got one in the chest. The entire squad, dead, in seconds. Tendrils of smoke curling from the barrel of Rex's gun. That shit saved Edward's life. But he knew he had to keep moving. If he didn't, he'd end up like the others. So Edwards started running again. He didn't check for traps or hiding gooks. All those drills and training evaporated in the clammy mist. Sweat cascaded down his back and legs, dripped into his socks. He wiped his forehead and a chill ripped through him. A wave of nausea stopped Edwards short, and he doubled over in pain. Invisible hands were twisting his guts like they were wringing a wet towel. It was just like the time he'd had a bad oyster on vacation with his folks, his stomach cramping so hard he saw stars. But he'd barely touched the powdered eggs for breakfast, and last night he'd only had coffee and cigarettes. Unable to eat after watching Rex's wet work. Another sharp abdominal pain dropped Edwards to his knees. The M16 fell from his hands, and he grabbed his throat. It was closing up. He gasped, but just barely. Something was moving near him, crunching over branches. He reached for his gun, but fell onto the muddy leaves. He didn't even try to get up. He just curled into himself. His rifle lay a few feet away. Sweat rolled into his eyes, and he realized he couldn't blink. Something awful was coursing through his veins. A spider or bug must have crawled into his clothes. He hadn't felt anything bite him, but that had to be what happened. In training, they'd given him a little book of dangerous insects, but he'd lost his the first week. Edwards tried to sit up, but he couldn't move. It was like he'd been filled with cement. If the enemy found him like this, he wouldn't even be able to turn over. He'd just have to stare into his executioner's eyes. He prayed it wasn't anyone that had escaped the village. He knew what they'd do to him. Now everything was black. His eyelids finally shut. He listened to the crunching steps coming closer. Closer. He struggled to look, but only a sliver of light came through before another round of darkness. He could hardly breathe. He prayed the birds were drowning out his sickly wheezing. He listened for the steps, wondered if he'd hear a growl or a voice before the inevitable, but the crunching steps were growing faint. Whatever or whomever was angling off. Edwards figured he must still be hidden. His paralysis might actually be a blessing. He'd have been spotted. Tiny pinpricks jittered up and down his fingertips, then hands and wrist. It wasn't much, but his thumb was starting to bend. Maybe laying down was slowing the poison. The pinpricks were becoming more painful, but at least a sense of feeling was coming back. If the poison passed, Edwards could get to his pack. There was a vial of epinephrine. Why the hell had he taken off his gear? Again, he tried opening his eyes. It was like lifting a rusted roll-up door on a cargo truck. But he could make out glossy leaves. His vision was still blurred and he couldn't turn his head, but he was sure he was lying next to a slow-moving black stream. He didn't remember a stream before he'd fallen, but here it was, washing over him. He could feel it moving up his hands. It made no sense, but it had to be freezing because the pinpricks spread over his arms and neck. Edwards tried to tilt his head to get a little of the water into his mouth. It was so close. A few pinpricks hit his chin. He wanted to scream. Then another loud crunch came from nearby. Another rustling. Edwards hoped it was a small, cute animal, that he'd open his eyes and see a cartoon fawn lapping at the stream. But he remained realistic. His luck, it'd be an anaconda. Then he heard a voice. A voice he knew. He'd heard it every day for the last 6 months.
God damn, Eddie. You came all the way out here to take a nap?
Rex's words were mumbled. It sounded like he was wearing a gas mask.
If you wanted to sleep in, all you had to do was ask. You could have invited your friends here, had a sleepover.
Edwards didn't know what the lunatic was talking about. But he was actually relieved to hear the staff sergeant's voice, especially so friendly. Maybe Rex didn't want to be alone in the jungle. Rex could open his pack, inject the epinephrine. Even if it didn't work, he might be able to carry Edwards to the village.
You feeling okay there, Eddie? You're not looking so hot.
Edwards tried to speak, but all he could squeeze out were a few wheezing puffs of air.
I can't hear you, bud. You gotta speak up.
Edwards tried to swallow, and Rex just laughed.
Ah, hell, I'm just fucking with you. You just lie still, buddy. I mean it. Don't move a muscle.
Edwards couldn't see, but it sounded like Rex actually slapped his thigh. Any relief Edwards had quickly dissipated. Edwards curled his fingers, imagined them wrapping around Rex's throat, but he gave up and tried to look in the direction of his pack. He couldn't actually see it, but he hoped that resetting his gaze and quickly looking left might get Rex to stop fucking around and help.
I gotta say, Eddie, for a blueberry piece of shit, you sure can move. I don't know how you made it this far.
Rex started stomping the ground.
God damn, man. I don't know how you weren't flipping the fuck out right now. That shit would be driving me crazy.
Edwards lifted his finger a few inches. He hoped he was pointing at his pack. Black beads of water slid towards his knuckle, then, strangely, crawled up the nail and twisted around his hand, defying the laws of gravity.
I just figured if anyone was going to finish their eggs, it'd be a big fuck like you,
Rex said.
But I guess I'm lucky. If it had been McKinney or Bartlett, I'd still be running my ass off.
The powdered eggs had tasted almost metallic. Edwards had just assumed that it was the water from Rex's canteen. Now he knew the truth. They'd been poisoned. It's why Rex had been able to take everyone out. Bartlett was the fastest draw in the squad. Rex started cursing, smacked at his skin, and hopped around like he was on fire. A water bead trickled down into Edwards' ear and burned. And that's when Edwards saw the undulating black stream thinning on the ground in front of his face. Little droplets spread out and crawled towards his eyes. It wasn't water. It was ants. And they weren't the kind you find at a picnic. They were devouring Edwards. And there was nothing he could do but blink.
Now, this is an army,
Rex said.
There might be 20 million in this one colony. All working together.
Rex spat on the stream of ants. A few got stuck in his loogie. Others scattered, but they found their way back towards their goal.
Now, that's loyalty. They know what's important. It's not the individual, it's the team.
Rex bent down and lowered his head so Edwards could look him in the eye.
I knew you all were going to talk, You forced my hand.
Rex shook his head.
No, our boys have lost enough, perception-wise. I had to put us on track again. For the greater good.
The M16 lay a few feet away. Edwards tried to fling his arm, but it barely moved. He felt an ant crawling up his cheek and closed his eyes. It gnawed at the thin layer of skin until bits of red light filtered through. Edwards tried to cry out, which sent a battalion of ants into his mouth. He gagged, almost puked. Rex stood, walked over to Edwards' M16, and picked it up.
I am sorry, though. I want you to know that.
He forced a little laugh.
What you wouldn't give for a can of Raid right now, huh?
Edwards swallowed a mouthful of blood and managed to eke out,
Please?
Man. I wish I could. Truly. But if anyone finds you, I can't let it get back to me.
Edwards blew out a string of bile and ants. Then he tapped his finger onto his chest. Rex gave a little nod.
Okay, all right. But you gotta do this on your own.
Rex bent down and placed the rifle in Edwards' hands. The barrel was just under Edwards' chin.
All you gotta do is squeeze.
Edwards' finger fumbled for the trigger. Rex told him he was almost there. Edwards dragged the gun a little higher, started to lift his head a few inches. There was a fleeting thought he might be able to take one shot at Rex, but it didn't last long. He stared at what was left of his hand, the tendons and bones, a cluster of ants clinging to some remaining flesh, plopped down onto his chest and carried away the meat. Edward's finger started to slide off the trigger, but Rex held him firm, even placed his own finger over Edward's bone.
They're army ants, Eddie. Just like you and me.